יוסף ושמואל א', chapter 14. In the middle of a war, the Plishtim made a siege around Am Yisrael. And Shaul has only 600 people as soldiers around him, and the Plishtim will be described as much as the sand on the beach. You have 600 plus two people, Yonatan and his assistant, against the sand of the beach. Chapter 14, with your permission, sentence 1, Vayi Hayom. So the Zohar says every time it says Vayi Hayom, it means Rosh Hashanah. Vayi Hayom, says the Tanakh, says in Navi, Vayimer Yonatan ben Shaul, Yonatan, the son of Shaul, says, El Anar, Nosek Kelav, his assistant, Lecha ben Avra, let's pass, El Matab Plishtim, Hashem, Eber Alaz, let's pass over the border. Rabbi Vayigid, he decided not to tell his father, the King Shaul, what he's going to do. He wants to take care of the Plishtim by himself and his assistant. The Rabbi told us last week that only two people had swords. Shaul had a sword and Yonatan had a sword. You could not find a sword in all of Israel. The Plishtim did not let us manufacture anything with metal. So only Yonatan has a sword and his father has a sword. So Yonatan decided he is going to cross over to the other side of the Plishtim. So with your permission, Shaul is sitting underneath the pomegranate tree in a place called Migron. There are 600 people around him. And also was a Kohen over there, that he is able to connect via the Urim and Tumim, via the Choshen, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need this information for later. But the Navi tells us right now that Shaul is sitting with 600 people. Among the 600 people, there is a Kohen that he is able to ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu a question. The Amrei Adaki Alach Yonatan. The nation, the 600 people, they do not know that Yonatan crossed the border to the other side. Avinah Ma'abarot, with a little path over there between the two mountains, Asher Bikesh Yonatan La'avor Matzav Plishtim, that Yonatan is trying to cross to the other side. It was not just a regular ground, it was something like two big mountains, and the mountains had a lot of rocks. This means it was something that was very hard to do, to cross to the other side, because it was like a wall around the Plishtim, and he just cannot cross to the other side. And he's going to tell us that Yonatan did something very special by trying to cross over. He was crossing over, and there was like a rock. One side, Shena Sela Ma'ever Mizeh, Shena Sela Ma'ever Mizeh, on the two sides were big rocks, big mountains. Veshema Echad, the name of one rock is Botet, Shema Echad Saneh, Saneh. They had names, it means just to emphasize that they were really big rocks, big mountains. One is on the north side, one is on the south side. Even Natan Yonatan was taken up. Natan tells his assistant, let's pass, let's cross to the other side. Maybe Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make us a miracle. כן השם מעצור להושיע ברב או במעט. הקדוש ברוך הוא for him, he doesn't care if he have a lot of soldiers or very small amount of soldiers. So we are only two against so many people. It doesn't matter if הקדוש ברוך הוא wants to make a miracle, 600 people or 2 people, it's the same for him. Let's try to do the job ourselves. Even though say, "Hello, I'm a sick man, I'm a big guy." He says, "Listen, do whatever you wish. Tell us, you need imchakil, imchakil, whatever. Whatever you can do, I'm behind you. I'm backing you up." They made a turn. You need a lot of women and machines. Now we're crossing. But they clean all, and they can see us for sure. They can see us coming. It was in the daytime. So we have to find out if really we are successful. He's making like a condition. That condition will prove if Hashem is with him. It says him like this: "In koy yomru elenu domu." If we're going to hear them screaming to us, stand up over there, do not move. "Ad agiyenu alechem," until we're coming towards you. "Ba'amadnu tachtenu," we have to stop. We cannot walk forward. We should not climb and fight them. It's a sign from Hashem that we cannot go. "In koy yomru alu alenu ba'alinu," but if they'll tell us, come, let's go, let's meet, then we should go and climb, because that's a sign. Kinetanam Hashem Ajinu Bezelano. This is going to be a sign for us that Hashem is with us. So the Gemara has the debate if you're allowed to do such a thing. If this is called like you guessing, it's called Nachash. Are you allowed to do such a thing? Are you allowed to tell if this is going to be like this, I'm going to do like this, it's going to be like this, I'm going to be like this? So the Gemara has a debate about it. The Gemara connects it to the story of Eliezer, the Eved Avraham, if you remember, that he went to look for a wife for Yitzchak and said, if the lady will come and she'll give me water and she'll give my camels, that's the lady. So the Gemara has a debate about those two stories, if you should do it, you shouldn't do it. According to the Muslim Farshim, that kind of a thing you're allowed to do. But for example, you're not allowed to do this kind of thing what the Goyim says. It says, oh, a black cat. A black cat that's in front of me today is a bad day, I'm not going to walk. Or something, you know, I had my lunch and a piece of bread fell off my mouth. So that's not a good sign. It means I lost a piece of bread, it means it's not a good sign. That's the Gemara says it's called Nachash. This is a person does not say things called Lotase. It means says Nakut, all these things. All these things, this is the Goyim thing. It's Avodah Zohar. It's Nachash, it's called like you're guessing. You do this, besides it won't help, it's also a sin. It's called Lotas, the Lotan Nacheshu. The Gemara says, do not guess. That doesn't mean you cannot guess the 270 million. It means you cannot guess, means that to make like a trick, that it's not, this is not good luck to me. This is not good luck. I mean, the mirror breaks in the house, and so they have to call Chana Kadisha. And it says, because the mirror is a sign that somebody died, you have to go and bury the mirror, all kinds of superstition things. This is a scene. It's not just, you know, a superstition, you know, doesn't matter. What can you lose? You know, you bang on it and say, Nakwood. Nakwood is Avodah Zarah. It's the Goyim Ayyada. I said, three of all the Panam. The Gemara says, the Goyim said, if you have a deer in front of you on the Garden of State, and you don't watch him, you didn't hit him. Because if you hit him, you need to fix the car. But let's see, just pass, and then say, oh, not a good luck. It says, it's a sign from Hashem not to go back home. This is the Gemara, if you do such a thing, this is called Nachash, it's called Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to do it.
Maybe this is like a tefillah.
Right. But over here he didn't, you know, but Eliezer says clearly that he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara compared it to that story. So let's say, the Gemara says debate, let's say you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the deer should not pass in front of your car. Or you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when you go outside the door you won't see a black cat. A black cat is a bad luck, you don't want to pray in the house before you go downstairs. Help HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I shouldn't see a black cat. That's Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to pray to this thing. The Gemara compared the story of Eliezer to that story over here of Yonatan. But again, according to Chachamim, that's the explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara said that this kind of a sign you have to do, you have to say, listen, I'm going to New York now. If I hit 20 red lights, it means I go home. That's you have to do.
You
have to do, right?
You can make your own.
You can make your own sign. But only if you went in the morning to the mikveh. Otherwise, the sign is meaningless. The Satan is going to make you the sign. Yeah. Satan is going to make it. You have to be. You have to be in a certain level of emunah that you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you a sign. And that's the Natan is saying. That's what Eliezer said as well. He says, I want Hashem to give me a sign. So which sign? He says, I'm going to make myself a sign. If the sign is going to come true, it means Hashem is behind me. But you have to be in a level that you know Hashem is going to talk to you. But if you're not on this level, it means nothing, the sign. So Satan is going to make those things.
Well, the other also said that you want to see if Rivka was kind.
Again, but you're not allowed to make the sign, the Gemara says.
If you're not on the level,
well, the mikveh, is not a shower. See, that's the whole problem. People think mikveh is a shower. Mikveh is a tool to do teshuvah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yosef, writes in his book, and that's the Ozar Ruach, based on one of the Chachamim, the 600 years ago. As the Ozar Ruach said, you cannot do teshuvah if you want to regret something that you did. He says it's not 100% true that you regret. Unless you go to mikveh. But you're saying I regret, it doesn't mean that you really regret.
Every day?
I don't know if one time is enough. It depends what you do during the day. So every time you speak of Shana Reif, you go to the mikveh. Eventually you can become a fish. But then Shulchan Aruch, Beit Yosef writes in his book. He says, you want to do the Shuvah? He says two conditions. He says you have to take a haircut. That's to go to mikveh. You look at Shulchan Aruch, in two Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchot Chol HaMoed, I think it's tough to find bed. But you said, right, to bring those away, somebody does teshuvah. Teshuvah means not just to bang on your house. It's also you have to take a haircut and go to mikveh. If you don't take a haircut, you don't go to mikveh, the teshuvah is not complete. It means in order for you to accept on yourself, to regret what you did truthfully, and accept yourself not to do this again, and you should really think that you're not going to do the thing again, that power, that energy only comes as Ozar Ruach. This is what we're talking 600 years ago. Only if you take a haircut, it doesn't mean you have to be bald, it doesn't mean to be satma. It means that you have to take a little haircut, it's a secret in it. By cutting a little hair, it goes off. It goes off from you, the et cetera. And go to mikveh. So Shulchan Aruch, the Beit Yosef says, haircut, I don't know. That's what he writes of it. Rami said, he said a haircut, he doesn't know. If you have to do. But he doesn't say, I don't know about mikveh. That he doesn't write.
You know, one time you said to somebody here, we have long hair, you told me we should cut his hair, shave him, play him long hair.
The Zohar said, we just gave him another haircut, in Nantik, a few weeks ago. He said, good.
Same person?
Yeah.
Maybe
there's a different
person.
Was one somebody in the shul that he had like a ponytail?
Yeah.
Right. So first we gave him a haircut here in the shul. A few weeks ago he came to Nantik, to my house also, so he went to the barber in Nantik. Told him that the Zohar said all the bad entities get stuck to the hair. It doesn't mean to shave your hair. It means to cut a little bit. If you have too much, that's what the Zohar says, they get to you. It doesn't say that. No, it doesn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch says, or the Zohar says, to do teshuvah, that's the power of a mikveh. That you don't have it in the shower. The only mikveh takes called the yetzer hara from inside you and lets you really believe that you want to regret and you do teshuvah. So the word says without it is not teshuvah. This is why before Yom Kippur we have this custom in Rosh Hashanah to go to mikveh. Okay. It's not just to purify ourselves from not being pure, it's also to prepare us to do the real, what we call the real truthful teshuvah. And without the mikveh, but he can do tshuva. So again, the sign, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go to mikveh, it means you do tshuva. You can do the sign. You can do the sign, the rest is the sign. The sign will tell you what to do or not to do. And if you're pure enough, the sign will become true. I will see it, but Gideon also, the Gemara said, Gideon also, if you remember the Sefer Shoftim, also he didn't know to go fight the Midianim, he didn't know to go, not to go. He also told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, let me see if it's going to be dew on the floor, and there's one piece of wool over there, or cotton, should stay dry, and then ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu the next day, not do it the opposite, let the piece get wet from the dew, and the earth should be dry. Let's find that the person says, the Chachamim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let us try to find the solution or the answer for the question that we have. So that's what Yonatan is doing. He's behaving by himself with his assistant. He wants to know to go fight army of soldiers. So he tells his assistant, we've got to make a sign. If they'll tell us, stand where you are, it means Hashem doesn't want us to go. They tell us, come up, climb up, which means they say like they're laughing at us, or they're like telling us to come and they're going to fight us. That means if they say this kind of statement, that means Hashem is behind us and let's go. But again, Chachamim say a person can do it himself, signs for himself according to that. That's why it says in the Tanakh, those stories for us to learn. That's what Chachamim say, that if you want to make yourself a sign, make yourself a sign. This is, if I miss the train, it means the customer is not good for me, I shouldn't ship him. It's okay, you can make this sign. This is, you want to rent an apartment to a tenant, and you say, if it's tomorrow I come to the Takneset, and the table, the chair next to me will be empty, I'll rent it, okay. Maybe somebody is sitting, no, it's okay. You can make any sign you wish.
That's like someone says,
I said, the Gemara debates about that sign. And the Gemara, Kuntu Chachamim, say that really this kind of a sign is permitted. That's what it says in the Tanakh.
The
other sign I said, what I said, but the Goyim made sign. Or it's known things like a black hat.
It happens because the Goyim do.
Right. That's what the Torah means. Not in the Chashuv, not in the, because the Goyim, they have no belief in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. All those known things, the people will prove it to you. They say, this guy lost his money because the black hat passed in front of him. He says, since then, I don't pass a black hat. That's not what that's all. That's not what it is. That's nonsense. It's called Tamim Tiyev Hashem Elokeva. Hashem is testing you. It's a story in the Gemara that the Chachamim had a debate. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol and Chachamim was the biggest, one of the biggest ever that we had. It's called Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, it's Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Was the biggest ever, could have predicted everything. Chachamim said it at night time, he was learning in a room without light. Was like light in the room, like sunny in the room. Used to come fire from his head, from the laser of the laser monotonous. And that's how Rabbi Elazar was really the biggest ever, almost the biggest ever. Even before he died, he called all the students, he told everybody what's going to be with him. Everything. I mean, he knew perfect. One time he had a machloket with Chachamim about something. It's called Tanur Shel Achnai, about a oven, kosher, not kosher, sitting in the Beit HaKnesset, and he said, you know, if I'm right, the world of the shul will bend. All of a sudden you see the wall of the shul bending. I said, Chachamim said, forget about it, it's nothing. He said, okay, if not, he says, the water's gonna start coming out from here. A spring. And then the Gemara said, Chachamim said, we don't accept you. All the tricks that you do is nothing. So Rabbi Nissim Gaon, Rabbi Nissim, the writes in his commentary, sometimes Hashem is trying to see if really you believe 100% in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have halacha lo v'ashamayim. We have halacha that if two chachamim have a machloket, we cannot bring proof with miracles. It's called lo v'ashamayim. You can say this rabbi is right. So why is this rabbi right? Because he can do tricks. Because he can do miracles. Because this rabbi can show you, it is the other rabbi, he tells the rabbi, if you don't agree with me, you will fall off George Washington Bridge. Even if the guy will fall off George Washington Bridge, it doesn't mean this rabbi is right. So when you think, oh, because Hashem is trying to see that you should be coming with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100%, and it's nothing to do with all your strength and all the powers that you have, even though that you can do certain things. So Rabbi HaGadol was a very powerful person, and he told Chachamim, I can move the walls of the Beit HaKnesset, they should tilt, to show that I'm right. I can make you a spring coming out. So Chachamim said, I don't believe it. He said, what do you don't believe? Can you do it? No, you cannot do it. So obviously this guy is greater. So, still, what to do with the Gemara, what to do with the Mishnah, the Halacha, you cannot prove with miracles, because lo b'shamayim, the Torah is not up, the Torah is here. So the Halacha, you say what the Halacha, is nothing to do what this person is great and what this person thinks. It means nothing. But sometimes you have these things that the person sees something and says he can do something. It doesn't mean it. This is Satan. Says Rabbi Yonisim, on his commentary, Masechet Brachot, he said, the Satan helped, it's not Hashem. He says, the Satan helped that thing to happen, that the walls of Beit HaKnesset should tilt and spring should come out. Satan didn't. It means Hashem tried, the Satan, Hashem tried Chachamim to see if they can believe that what we call that, if we may say this nonsense, that it's the war after thing, and says this can be approved that Allah is like this. You can't say that they can do that. So Lord Hashemai means that Allah is what Chachamim decided here, even though it doesn't make sense to you and you think I can prove it's not Allah by making miracles. I can turn things into that. The Gemara said no, we cannot do it. Lo b'shamayim, the Torah is here. Miracles will not help to convince Chachamim that Halacha is like this, Halacha is like this.
You also don't pass them like a Bavkala,
right? That's what it is. You don't pass them like a Bavkala because it's called Lo b'shamayim. So Yonatan is making that sign together with the assistant, and he's ready to go, and he wants to know if Hashem is going to help him. Sentence 11, Vayigalushneim. אל מטה פשטים, ואת פלסטיין זה פשטים סידם, ואימו הפשטים עירים יוצאים מן האחורים, אשר התחבו שם יוצאי, the Jewish people are coming from this cave that they used to hide, they hid over there. ואינו אנשי אמת צבא, את אינו תלוי לסקי לב, יבואו עלו אלינו, ידיע אתכם דבר. So the פלסטים, the פלסטיין, they announced and they called יונתן and his assistant says, come up, we'll teach you. We'll teach you once for all the lesson that you're expecting. אם נתן לו סקרב, עלי אחריי, נתן לו סיסטר, let's go right away. Remember the sound we did? כי נתן לו השם ביד ישראל, זה שכם הוא gave the פלישתים in the hands of עם ישראל.
Why
is it that Jonathan is the Jewish? I don't know. The Mephashim say it, I don't know why. I think Jonathan is only one time mainly. For the rest of the time, no, you're right. Even in this chapter, sometimes you don't know. I don't know. But I thought the Rishonim asked this question. I don't know. Vayar, sentence 13, with your permission. Vayar, Natan Eliyadav on Raglav. It says he was climbing up on his hands and his feet because it was a rock. And it was very hard to climb. So he is walking on his hands and his feet, knees. He was thinking, Elav Acharav. So he's climbing up, and his assistant is climbing behind him. By Plulif Neim Yonatan, the Plishtim that were waiting over there for Yonatan, falling in front of him. If Yonatan is hitting them, his assistant is finishing the job. Like he just put them down on the floor, and the guy behind him finished the job, killed them. But here, they were able to kill 20 people. This is like a measurement of like 50 or more, like in 100 feet. At 100 feet pass, they were able to kill 20 people. It's not a lot, but that 20 people dead caused sentence 15, Vati'i charada b'machane b'sadeh. Everybody saw 20 people died. So that thing caused a confusion. And confusion and frighten among the camp in the field, and the whole nation, all the Philistines are trembling. The people are standing over there waiting to attack, the people that's watching over, all getting confused and trembling and frightened. But in God, it's not only the people are frightened, they sense that earth, the land itself, is getting angry. If you don't find this kind of statement in Tanakh, Only I think 200 times in the Tanakh you had this kind of statement, that the earth itself is shaking, the earth itself so-called upset. But here Chedat Elohim, the land is like afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did that cause the 20 dead ones that Yonatan killed in his assistant, that's the confusion and trembling and frightened among the army of the Plishtim? Again, we're talking about like the sand of the beach, you're talking about maybe hundreds of thousands of soldiers. But it was, so it means, of course, what it means is it's a miracle. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing the job, that they only were able to kill 20 people. Just by killing 20 people, became the whole camp or the whole army became confused. By what? So Fimna Shaul, the people that used to watch from Shaul's side, from Israel's side, they're looking. The Givah Binyamin, they're looking on this hill in the territory of Binyamin. They see the whole army is moving back and forth. And sideways, it's just a confusion in the army. So Shaul right away thought that somebody started a war, but he doesn't understand why it's a whole confusion. Obviously there's somebody over there. Let's see, count over, it's only 600 people, it's not hard to find out if anybody's missing. Just count over right away to see who is missing, who left. But if you do Vinayan, Instagram, Sekalam, and said, Yonatan and his assistant are not here. So right away they suspected that he, Yonatan and his assistant, they're doing the job. Then Shaul goes up to the Kohen, the great grandson of Eliyahu Kohen, Agisha Rona Elohim. Please bring over here the Echad, the Aaron. Kiyah Rona Elohim, Bayim Ubne Israel, Am Israel had the zchut to have the Echal with the Luchot inside, and he wants to ask a question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what to do, or what the situation. While he's talking to the Kohen, v'yadiber Shaul el Kohen v'hamon Hashem ha'Plishtim v'yelech haloch v'arov v'rav. It says he's watching the Kohen, on the other hand he's looking on the other side of the mountain. You see the confusion running back and forth. Don't even ask, don't bother, there's no time. I think there's a whole confusion now over there, so probably this is a sign we should attack them right away. So by the time the Kohen wants to have an information, takes time. He says, no, I see it's crucial now, there's no time now. We have to run right after the Plishtim. He called the people, his little army, he sees something very interesting. He says they're killing each other. He says the Plishtim killing each other. He's watching from the other side of the hill. He sees the army, the Plishtim, just playing, killing each other. This is a big confusion. They're fighting each other for no reason. Now he's trying to give us a reason what is really behind it. There was like some people, by Ibrahim, this is some group of Jewish people maybe, or group of another nation. Ayula Pishtim Ket Moshe Mishov. There are some people in the army. I think it's like Nisur Tata, you know. I think that's what it means. You know, Nisur Tata, the girl to the demonstration against the Jews. So it sounds like, I mean, there's a Machlok and Efrashim who are those people, but they are in the army of the Plishtim, among the Palestinians, they have some like Jewish people, or not Jewish exactly, Chachamim says, they look like Jewish, but you know, they join the Plishtim against the Israel.
Kutim?
No, they call it Ibrahim, it's not Kutim. And those people, all of a sudden, change their minds. And because they changed their mind, the Plishtim started to fight them, they started to fight each other. This is partially the reason why we see that confusion caused the Plishtim fought themselves. is because Sinus 21, by Ibrahim, Ayula Peshtim, Tetmon Shusham, Asher, Alu Imam, those group of people used to beat Ayula Peshtim. They changed their mind. Now they want to be together with Am Israel, so that caused some confusion as well. And this, the situation right now, they're killing each other. The Polish Israel and Mitzchabim Bar Ephraim, last thing what we learned, a lot of Jews hid themselves, ran away. They're afraid of the Polish team. They just hid themselves in caves. All of a sudden they heard Shamu Kinos and Polish team. So there's a confusion and the Polish team, the Palestinians are running. They came out of the cave, they're running after them. Who helped us, and the Plishtim are running for their lives, and the war is at the other side of the border, and I'm still running after them. When a person came by, it's a question who it is, somebody came over, maybe it's an assistant of Shaul, he came to him and he told him, Shaul decided to make like a swear, like a curse. Cursed is going to be the person that is going to eat anything until the evening. He says everybody should do ta'anit, should do it so, in order to win the war. Shaul felt that this fast will have to win and to complete the job against the Christians. So Shaul made a curse, said nobody should eat anything. It doesn't mean to eat bread, it means lechem, means a meal. It means nobody should eat anything until the evening, and he comes to him, Moriah will take revenge from our enemy. Nobody tasted anything, nobody ate anything. This is while they're running after the Pishtim, they came into a forest. It was like honey. Machloket in the Chachamim is either from the honey from bees or honey from just like kind of honey that comes from trees. They're all running. It's in the middle of the war. And you see honey. If you remember, I told you this in the beginning of the chapter. The Zohar said that every time it says Vayah Yom is Rosh Hashanah. And this is Chasam Chachamim say that this is why we have honey on Rosh Hashanah. And because in the middle of the war, it's the same day, I don't know if it's the same day or the next day, and it says all of a sudden we go and we see the whole forest, the floor is covered with honey. This is what is the sign? Asal. Asal, you know Asal. What is Asal is in Farsi, honey? Like if you ever go to Iran on a mission, you know, if you hear Asal, it means honey. He says they're going in a war and they see on the floor honey. What he wants to teach you? And how is it possible that the whole harvest is full of honey? Especially according to Chachamim, it's a honey from bees. Some of the Chachamim says it was a beehive. Chachamim says, no, it says, on the whole surface of the field was honey. Well, how you say it? That's a sign of Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah we have honey. I said, why Rosh Hashanah have honey? Chachamim say that honey, if you add up the value, the miracle value of honey, dvash, the American value is Avraham Rahman or Avraham Rahamim, Father of Mercy.
306.
See Avraham Rahman or Avraham Rahamim. The same thing. Instead of Nun at the end, you have Yud and Mem. Chachamim say Avraham Rahamim is the American value of Avraham Rahamim is Vash, honey. So when you eat honey on Rosh Hashanah, Chachamim say, that's the Kavanah, that you want to have mercy on HaKadosh Baruch. That honey has a special thing. When you eat it, you think about mercy. It's good to have honey on Rosh Hashanah because of mercy. I said, this is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch has mercy on us. And you go to the war and you see so much honey on the floor, I said, it's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch has mercy, especially when Chachamim say that war started on Rosh Hashanah, and now they see Baruch Hashem hanging on the floor, it means Hashem is with us. That's exactly what Yonatan felt. That Hashem is with him, that's why he made the sign. They say, it's a proof. It's a proof you have honey. But then he says, it's very nice to have honey, but the drash is like running. It's not just honey on the floor, it's just the drash, the honey like is pouring, spilling honey. It's so much honey. But in the middle of the war, since Shaul made a curse, nobody should eat anything, then Masig Yadolpi, no one touched the honey, no one took even a little honey in his hand to put in his mouth, Ki Yare Amet HaShvua. All scared because Shaul made a swear and he cursed. Whoever's going to take anything in his mouth, even a little bit of honey, nobody wants to take. V'natan lo shama. V'natan did not hear. He was already on the other side while his father made this promise, this curse. He didn't hear it. Rosh Hashanah Bashvi Avivetav. He didn't hear. Vayishlach et kteh amateh asher biyado. He was holding like a little stick. He dipped it vayitbol otah be'aharat hadvash. He dipped it, his stick that he was walking with in the honey. Vayishlach yado epiv ataor ma'enav. He was so exhausted from climbing this mountain, those rocks, and fighting the Pishtim, chasing them, that when he put a little bit of honey in his mouth, his eyes were lightened. It means he was very weak. And Chachamim said even, but it means he couldn't even see on his eyes that how weak he was. Then he put some, and they didn't hear about the swear, so he dipped it, and he put it in his mouth. Next to him was a person, a soldier. Didn't you hear? Your father swore the whole nation and he said, your father said nobody should eat anything. But the nation is very tired. Didn't you hear it? That your father made everybody understand that nobody should have anything, it's a fast day, and you over here dipping your stick and you putting honey in your mouth. Yonatan answers him, my father made the earth dirty. What it means is, it's like not clear what my father did. Reuven, look at me, I was not able to look and see anything because I put some honey in my mouth. My eyes are functioning again, and it's right in my eyes. Kitanti mat vashvei, I only tasted a little bit. Af kilu achol achal hayom ha'am yishlal lo yivav Hashem atah. If the nation would have eaten, not listen to my father, or my father would not have made this kind of promise, ki atah lo ravta makat plishtim. The plishtim, what do you think? We would not be able even to win them even better? Therefore, he disagreed with his father, and he ignored his father's curse. Yaqub ayom over Pishtim v'chema sh'ayelona v'yafa meod. So they chased them, they hit them, and the nation are very, very tired and thirsty and hungry. V'yata'am el ha'shalal, the running after the looting, they took animals, they slaughtered them. They started to eat on the blood. The question, what does it mean, the eating on the blood? Chachamim say it means it was the evening already and the eating in the same place they slaughter. And this you're not allowed to. Chachamim say, it's not right to eat next to a place that is blood of an animal. Because the place that we have the blood of animals, the Gemara said the Shedim come. The Shedim come, and Am Israel sat down next to the blood and eating over there. And the purpose why they're eating there is to see the Shedim, to speak to the Shedim, to find out what to do.
Why they want help from the Shedim?
Find out.
Under bed, no?
Yeah, the bed, yeah.
So why did they help?
The mommy that is the motto.
if they're bad, why would they help him?
Well, sometimes you have power over the Shidim. If you know certain names, certain statements, the Shidim have to listen to. That's a pasuk in the Torah, Elohim Bechu La'Tzirim, in Parashat Achshemot, I think, that you should not sit down next to blood and ask the Shidim, because the Shidim, they love to eat blood. And every time there's blood, you have a shed come. So Am Yisrael, that Am Yisrael's explanation is, they floated after them, they were very tired. In the evening they slaughtered, but eating the meat was the slaughter right next to the blood. And you should not eat next to the blood, because the purpose eating next to the blood is not just it happens, they do it on purpose. And the reason again is the one that speaks to the Shedim that come next to the blood. And then he tells us, that's what Am Yisrael did. They came and they captured all the animals, they slaughtered the animals. This was the night time already, the Chachamim. Because the fast day was only till the night time, now it's after the night. They eating next to the blood.
You shouldn't eat the animals, they spoil or you can't eat anything?
No, they slaughtered the animals, they didn't have any food with them. It's the middle of the war. So in the middle of the war, they were able to capture some animals, some sheep, some cattle. So at night or in the afternoon, they slaughter them. They're ready to eat at night the meat, what they make kosher after the slaughter, but eating it next to the puddles of blood. That again, the Chachamim said, this one of the explanations. Another explanation means what Rabbam, the Gemara said, they're eating them, they're taking part of the animal while the animal is still alive. It's called Edom in the Chai. It means they're not waiting for the animal to die completely after the slaughter of the animal. They were so hungry. Again, it's night time, but they were so hungry because of the war that they're going to cut part of the animal while the animal is not dead completely. This is one of the Mishra'im talking in Noach. It's called Ever Minachai. You're not allowed to cut a piece from an animal if the animal is not completely dead after you slaughter the animal. Since here, said the Chachamim, they were so hungry, and there was a fast day, so that caused them not to wait. This is again, this is one of the mitzvot that we have. It's called Eber Minachai, not allowed to take a part of the animal if the animal is not dead completely. They're doing it. That's another explanation what it means here. But the enemy, they do something wrong. The nation are doing the sin. They're eating on the blood. Either again they're eating part of the animal while the animal is still alive, or they just eating next to the blood in order to feed the Shedim. It says, you just betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bring me a big stone. They brought him a big stone, and that stone is going to be like an altar. Shaul puts it on. Shaul said, go everybody, go around. Spread around the nation, bring it to me. Each one bring his own bull to me. The east of your, and the person should bring his own lamb to me. Ushatetem baze, over here you slaughter. On this stone, big rock, v'achatem. And then you should eat v'lotech te'ul Hashem. Lechol adam. He should not seem to eat. So either they should eat on the other side of the stone, say Chachamim, or they should wait till the animal is completely dead, and then you should eat it. Agishu kolam yishoro biyadol, ayla vishchadu sham. So everybody brought his own bull, his own ox, to Shaul, and they slaughtered over there. Bemishon Zerach Hashem, that thing became like an altar. Otechem Yod Zerach Hashem, Shaul was the first king that made an altar for the nation to sacrifice. Even Shaul, then after they ate, it was the middle of the night, Shaul said, Nirdach Rea Pishtim Laila, let's go and chase them in the night time, V'navoz Abayim Ador Hayom Abokim Ramashir Bayim Ish. So Shaul told the nation, okay, after you ate and you're not hungry anymore, it was after they broke the fast and they ate, he said, let's go chase the Pishtim, and we'll loot them and we'll finish them up. The nation said, okay, let's go. You want to go? Let's go. Whatever you want to do. The Mera Kohen And his grandson says, let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nikreva HaLom HaYalokim, let's ask Hashem if we should do it or not. Eshar Shaul Belokim, Shaul asked the Kohen to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I read after Pishtim, shall I go and chase the Pishtim night at the night time at its name Biyad Israel? Are you going to give them in the end of Israel? Lo Amnahu Bayomo, Hashem doesn't answer. Even Shaul Geshu Alom, Kolpinot Ha'am, Shaul was very upset. He said, if Hashem doesn't answer, it means the Urim V'Tumim, what the Kohen HaGadol is wearing, do not shine. He says, if that's what it is, it means something is wrong there. So he called Am Yisrael. He says, Udihu Rehu Bameh Haita Chatat Hazot Hayom. Somebody made a major scene because I don't get an answer. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset. If Hashem is upset, it must be somebody did something wrong. שיחי השם ומשיח את ישראל, כי משנו מייתן בני, כמו שימות. Somebody told him maybe, or he wanted to show how much he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, somebody did a major sin, and I don't care if it's my own son. That's a simple explanation. If my own son did something, I don't care. I'm going to kill him. Not he's doing anything, some Chachamim say, just wanted to emphasize that if this crucial moment Hashem doesn't answer, must be something very bad done, and I don't care who did a bad thing. Whoever did a bad thing, he's going to die. Anybody that did a bad thing, anyone will go love. Nobody answers. Even I call Israel, he told them, Israel, if no one answers me, I'm going to find out. How I'm going to find out? Attend to you later, Chad. I'm going to make like a lotto. I'm going to put all of Israel on one side, but even at some din yeh reder echad. I'm going to divide ourselves into two groups. Me and my son, one group, and you, one group. And let's see who is really the one that did something wrong with which group. Shaul, atav nechaseh. The nation answer, you want to do it? We agree. We didn't do anything wrong. Yem Shaul Hashem, okay, Israel, have a tamim. I'm pleased that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer me. I want to know what it is. Which group is right, which group is wrong? So the group of Adam Shaul came up. Bam Yatzau, the nation came out clear. It means Shaul and Yatzau, one of them did wrong. Shaul asked them, you make a lot between me and my son. Now Yatzau became the guy that did something wrong. Then Shaul and Yonatan, I hear him ask it out. Tell me what did you do? Then Yonatan, I'm allowed to home, to ask him, I'm ready to die. You said you're going to kill? I'm ready to die. I did taste with my stick a little bit of honey. Then Shaul, I'm ready to kill you. You want to kill Natan, Asher, Atay, Shuvah, Gullah, Azud, Israel? You want to kill this guy? This guy made the whole victory. How you plan to kill him? Khalilah, don't dare kill him, Chatzah Shalom. Chai Hashem in God's name, he promised Chatzah Shalom. Even a hair of his head should not fall down. Im Elohim Asah, Yom Azeh, Hilidim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavzor, Majetam, Elomet. They redeem you, Natan. What did he do? So Chachamim say they brought a sacrifice to Allah because he was shogeg, he didn't hear his father. Some Chachamim say they made a donation, gold as much as the weight of Yonatan. This is the two things that Chachamim say. Chachamim is around somebody, either to do shechita for him or to donate. It's called takat atil mimavet. Was from Mamelech, right, that this is one of the roots of that. So there's a machloket, how did they redeem Yonatan? Either they took an animal and they slaughtered, Chachamim said they slaughtered an animal, they took gold in the amount of the weight of Yonatan and they donated the weight to the Mishkan. That's how they redeemed it. It's not that they redeemed him just because of the statement that Jonathan, he is the cause of the victory. That's not enough. They had to do something, and he said, Jonathan, still, with all the respect, he didn't kill Jonathan, but Hashem did not answer him later on either. So they could not continue the war. It means they almost finished the Pishtim, you wouldn't have today this problem with Arafat. And Hashem did not answer Shaul, they did not kill Jonathan, but Shaul went home. Shaul Achad HaMukal Israel, he became the king. That's the end of this chapter. What's really behind this chapter? What is really the secret of this chapter? All Chachamim said the same thing. The Torah tells us that Parashat Bereshit, a person his name was Lemech. There were two Lemech. One Lemech was Cain's grandson, and then there was another Lemech was Noah's father. The first Lemech, Cain's grandson, he went one day outside, he went hunting. He was going to hunt. There's an arrow and a bow, and from far away he sees something. It was blind. It was an old man. So all of it was blind. And he sees something, and his son was in him, and his son said, there's an animal over there. I wasn't an animal. Was a person, his name was Cain, looked like an animal. Was wearing something that looked like an animal. And Lemech shot an arrow and killed the guy. Killed Cain. Cain was his great-grandfather. Then they go closer to the animal, they come closer to the animal. So his son said, boy, this is Grandpa. Grandpa is on the floor. So he was blind. They said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. His son and grandson was in front of him. He chucked his head off. Then he came home. And the Torah says, that's what it says in the Torah, Ada Betila. It says, his two wives, he pleaded with his two wives. It says, please. They left him. It says, Isharakti lefitil lechaburati. I said, I killed two people by mistake. I didn't mean to kill people. Why are you going away from me? He says a statement, this guy. He said, Cain killed his brother Hevel, HaKadosh Baruch, who waited seven generations. I'm Mr. Lemech, I'm seven generations after Cain. And Kishiva Cain, you come Cain. And HaKadosh Baruch, who waited seven generations, generation number seven, then Cain killed the Lemech, Shivim Veshiva. That says, for me, HaKadosh Baruch is going to wait 77 generations. That's in the Torah, a statement. It says, a murderer by mistake. Lemech is a murderer by mistake. It's true. But Lemech is trying to convince his wife to come back to him, because after his wife heard that he killed the great-grandfather, Cain, and then also he killed his son, and says, forget about this. We don't want to be next to you. So he's dealing with them. He's telling them, listen. So he did like this. He was blind.
Accidentally.
The word Lemech, if you take the Lamed and you put it between the Mem and the Chaf, becomes Melech. Melech. I said, Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a video. Both get a B. Why Adam HaRishon was created, so a few hours before he ate from Etzadat, he ate from Etzadat 2 hours before sunset. So until 2 hours before sunset, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the video of all the future, of all generations. He showed in the first king being killed, Shaul. Shaul is going to be killed at the end of Sefer Shmuel. So, Adam HaRishon asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on? The first king is going to be killed by the Arabs, by the Philistines. He said, no, don't worry about it. He doesn't know why. So that Lamech killed Cain with an arrow. Shaul is going to be killed with an arrow. And Shaul, Cesari, is considered generation number 77, after Lamech. Of course, it's not exactly, because from Cain nobody was left. But it means the neshama of Shaul HaMelech is 77 generations after the first Lamech. That he represents the first Lamech. So of course, Lamech killed without purpose, but even without purpose, there's something over here. It says, who is the guy that really told you? Who told you to do it? Who told you to do it? It says, your son. Your son told you to do it. Your son told you he's an animal. There's no animal over there. It's really your son's mistake. I mean, Lamech was blind. He couldn't see. But this is your son. It says, he caused the death of Cain, and he didn't do it, but he caused it. So he also deserves a punishment. Maybe, I don't know, the death he deserves, but it's a mistake. But you know, he pointed, he told the grandfather, shoot the arrow over there. He told his father, shoot the arrow over there. And he shot the arrow and he kicked Cain. It says, who is the guy that told you to shoot the direction and kill that person? He says, that's your son. I said, he is the one that caused the death. So this is really what Rebbe showed the Adam HaRishon, the video of the first king, because the first king that's going to be killed is not the first king, his name is Lamech. I mean, he killed Cain, he killed by mistake, right, he killed by mistake, but his grand Shaul is going to be killed that way. Jonathan is going to be killed with Shaul at the time, also that war. That's because Jonathan is representing the son of Mr. Lamech, that he showed Lamech where to shoot and where to aim to kill. I said, that guy, this is really, he is the key. Your son is the key. He caused the whole thing. Of course, Hashem decided to kill Cain. But to kill Beshogeg, if you kill without purpose, also you deserve a punishment. You need the kapara. Of course, it's a mistake, accidentally. Accidentally, you have to run to your miklat. Accidentally, you don't go to Gan Eden if you kill somebody. And that's really that Jonathan represents this the little boy that showed his father Cain. And it's really what the Navi is going to tell you a story over here, that Jonathan is the one that he has a sword, he's going to fight. He's a fighter because already in the first time that he was here already, he already told the father where to shoot. So the father really is like a blind, he doesn't know what to do. But his son, he knows, and he tells him, shoot over there. Here, Jonathan, he goes and he's going to start this war, but he has to understand that he has something inside him, that this is something not so clear, because he is the cause for his father Lamech to kill Cain. And therefore really the story goes around that he deserved death. When he ate from the honey, he didn't hear, it's a mistake. Of course it's a mistake. But your father said not to do it. So why did you eat from it? He said, well, I didn't hear. Anyway, I disagree with my father. He deserved death. That's why Rebbe is so upset here. And that's why Rebbe said, you cannot continue the war. Even though that it was made a mistake, even though Tam Yisrael redeemed him. Again, the redeeming because it's a mistake. A mistake, he doesn't deserve death. At least why he doesn't even kill him right now. But the story doesn't start here. This is just a continuation of a mistake that somebody did generations before, says Dali. And here how the whole story goes. It says that disrespect, if we say, that Jonathan had for his father. Disrespect. It says it's father is the king, the first king, and a person tells Jonathan, why are you eating it? His father made a curse. He says, well, I don't agree with my father. I don't agree with my father. And says, if everybody would have eaten, then we would have more strength to run after. He says, excuse me, you just made yourself a sign. If to go and to attack, has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you said, if they call us, I will go. If they tell us, stand up, we're not going to go. It means Hashem did not give them in our hands. And now you say, if we would have eaten, we would be able to finish the job. You just told me before that you trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you made a decision, you and your assistant, to go and attack hundreds of thousands of soldiers because you trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. Now, when somebody tells you, your father made a fast day, Tani, nobody should eat, and you said, no, it's not right. You see, I was almost blind. I couldn't see. Oh, he said, what couldn't see? What has to do see? You see, he can't see. Oh, there's a story like Lemech. Or he was blind as well. I said, look at the guy talking the same language. He said, blind, I was almost blind. He said, the nation almost became blind. He said, if we would have eaten, he says, eaten, food will give you the energy. He just said everything is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. What kind of disrespect you give such a statement that you say that my father is wrong. My father made a curse for nothing. Somebody's telling you your father made a curse. You just disagree with your father, especially your father is the king. So this is just the roots of kindness, the kind that disrespect Adam HaRishon and disrespect his brother as well. That's what the Nabi tells you, that Mr. Yonatan is the Zariz, the son of Lemech, that comes from kindness, no respect. And this is the Zariz, that's what really what Hashem is not letting the world to be finished. Even though Hashem redeemed Mr. Yonatan, even though Yonatan was Shogeg, he didn't know, he didn't hear what his father said. But the disrespect that he had for his father is a continuation of disrespect of kind to Adam HaRishon. Says the Zahir, says the Midrash, says that when Cain and Hevel started the fight, Hevel was much stronger than Cain. And when they started the fight, Hevel put Cain on the floor and almost choked him. Almost shocked him to kind for old Hevel, where is your respect for our father? What are you going to tell the father? When Hevel heard it, Hevel had respect. Hevel jumped off. That means Hevel jumped off Cain. Cain got up and killed him. He said, you saved yourself, because he said, where is the respect for the father? Where is your respect? You saved yourself. Hevel almost killed you. You said, you told Hevel, where is the respect for your father? What are you going to tell our father? Where am I? I says, therefore Hevel left him. Then Cain got up and killed Hevel. I says, where is your respect? You use the father's name, you use the father's respect as a tool to save yourself, and then you kill your brother? So that's exactly what Yonatan is all about. With all the respect, Yonatan has no respect for his father, especially, says Dari, a king. As a king, you have to have respect no matter what. A king cannot waive his respect, and especially you, the son of your father, so an obligation besides respect that you owe the king, your respect to your father. Instead, you just waive it. You say, my father does not what he's doing. And says, if my father would have let everybody eat, we would have won the war. Then I'll show you something. Hashem will not answer Shaul. Hashem will not let you continue the job, and the Pishtim are going to kill you. It says the cause, the death of the Pishtim, was the disrespect, the Zari, Cain to Adam HaRishon. The Lamech is seventh generation from Cain that is going to kill Cain for the disrespect. His son is going to be killed because he caused, if we say, some disrespect by killing the grandfather by mistake. It's also called disrespect, the Zari. And here comes the story of Shaul and Yonatan that did not finish the job with the Pishtim because of disrespect of Shaul or Yonatan to Adam HaRishon, to his grandfather. That's what it says. But here, Ayom is Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaDin. That is Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaDin. It's Yom HaDin, called it Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment, not necessarily the judgment for you, for yourself, for your behavior, can be for something that did happen 200 years ago, and you're responsible for that thing. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make that thing happen in Rosh Hashanah, the whole story, and you have the story with the honey. It's really Rosh Hashanah, it's here. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to answer. He's not going to answer in Rosh Hashanah because this respect, that this respect is a continuation of this respect of his great grandfather, his name is Kain, even though Shaul again is not from him, but his neshama, his name is to fix the neshama of Kain, and that's the respect that Nabi wants from Shaul and from Yonatan, especially because they're here to fix the sin of Kain and them.